Praise the Lord, everyone. You could just stand for the reading of the Word tonight. This is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. It is something that you walk by every time you walk into this sanctuary. If you walk into this building, you have to walk past this passage of Scripture. And if you go out there in the vestibule, you will find a portion of this. We'll be reading from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, we've been speaking over the last month about power and authority. We've preached about power, his power, his authority in our hands. Pastor spoke last Sunday and the Sunday before about power and authority, and he used this as one of the passages that he read. All power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he goes on, and he tells his disciples, he says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And then reading from John 9, says, I would like to take and personalize this for us here tonight. We must work the works of him that sent me, meaning Jesus Christ, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. We must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. You may be seated. Sunday night I spoke on a topic of 10 days that changed the world. And recapping a little bit of that Sunday night and then moving forward tonight, we started on the eve of the crucifixion, and we covered through the 50 days from the crucifixion up until the 40 days up until Jesus ascended there on Mount Olivet, and then the 10 days that the disciples were sent to the upper room. We spoke of how Jesus commanded there on the Mount of Olivet, some 500 people who watched him ascend into the heavens, and the two angels that came down spoke to the crowd that was there of some 500 people and told them to go to Jerusalem, to the upper room, and tarry there until they were endued with power from on high. And as we read in Acts, the first chapters of Acts, only 120 people followed those instructions. We also covered what all went on during those 10 days that they were in the upper room. We spoke of how that it was not just a constant 10 days of praying and fasting. It was 10 days, but within that 10 days, they held a church election to where that they voted in Matthias to replace Judas, who had hung himself. One thing that we do know and that we do read is that they were all in one mind and they were in one accord. And as I said, Sunday night is speaking of history and reading about various revivals over the land, over the last century here in North America, as well as the revival on the day of Pentecost. I am ready to take and put history behind us, and I'm ready to experience history today. I desire to experience a Pentecost here in Dane County, Wisconsin. I desire, and we need to desire, another Azusa Street. And I spoke of some of the outreaches that we had and how that in 10 days, while they were in the upper room, within that 10 days, they went from doubting, they went from fear, they went from not knowing what was going to happen to the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost ever to hit until up to that time in one place on the day of Pentecost. And as I take and I look upon God and I see how that God is moving, I'm looking to how God is moving across our land and how God desires to move across our cities and our churches and how God desires to change the hearts and the souls of men, starting with our own lives and with our own families and in our own church. Without a doubt, I believe that every revival began due to the power of prayer and the power of fasting as well as the power of unity within a group of believers. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in the power of fasting. To show you how powerful prayer and fasting can be, God sent a reluctant prophet named Jonah. Didn't even want to go, didn't have any desire. He would rather see Nineveh perish than to go there and preach unto them. And God sent him to Nineveh, and he fought God and said, I'm not going. We know the story in the Bible of how Jonah in the Old Testament was swallowed by a whale, and how God got his attention in the belly of the whale. And he goes to Nineveh, and all he does is tell them to repent ye, lest Nineveh be destroyed in 40 days. Repent ye. And a heathen king. It wasn't Jonah's idea to pray and fast. He wanted to see him destroyed. But a heathen king was moved by God and called on the whole city of Nineveh to pray and to fast. A wicked city. God said, if you don't go there and preach, I'm going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. Do you understand this? 40 days God was going to destroy Nineveh. And a heathen king that had no knowledge that I'm aware of called upon his whole city to begin to pray and to fast. And God sent a mighty revival to the city of Nineveh. You see, some people doubt that we can have a great revival. They look at all of the various things that can go wrong and such, and we look at ourselves we say, well, God, how can you use me? And we have all of these questions in our minds and such, but church, tonight we've got to ask ourselves, pushing all of that aside, how hungry are we for revival? How hungry are we? How desperate are we to experience the supernatural things of God? As I look across this sanctuary tonight as a church, we have come so very far from where we started. From our humble beginnings downtown in the YMCA or a WYWCA or whatever we started in, YWCA, I don't know. Was it a man's or ladies? Young men's, and then there's the ladies. I'm not for sure. Some of our Bible or our YWCA, YMCA, just like the village people, YMCA. Okay, I got it. I'll never forget that one now. Okay, so we started out as a humble beginnings, and we look at where we are now. Went carnal real fast there, didn't I? Over the past years, I felt in my spirit, and I know in speaking with the pastoral staff and as well as many of you as leaders and members of this church, we feel that God has brought us far from where we once were, but God has placed us on a journey. We are on a journey tonight, church. We were on a journey with God, and God has not stopped. God is continuing to move, but God is continually asking to see if we are ready to pay the price for the next step or the level that we must go in Him. One thing I found out about God, whatever level you're in, there's going to be a price to pay. You can't get away from that. If God is calling you into deeper ministry, there's going to be required of you a deeper sacrifice. When we look at Pentecost and we say, Lord, send us another Pentecost, are we willing to go to jail to preach this gospel? Are we willing to be placed in prison? Are we willing to be put in shackles? Are we willing to be beaten and stoned? Because that's what happened after they experienced their Pentecost. What are we willing to sacrifice? Over the past years or so, we've seen our outreach ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church explode due to a renewed passion to see the lost soul saved. In November of last year, we introduced to you as a church body, we introduced to you Mission 2025. Mission 2025 is what I would describe as a battle plan for the church over the next decade or so. I call it a battle plan simply because, church, we are at war. And it is a war, whether or not you wish to engage in it, is irrelevant. You are in a war tonight. If you wish to engage or not to engage, it matters not to Satan. He is going to come at you, whether or not. Doesn't matter to him. If you're a Christian, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are on his target list. Satan has your number. He has our number. He is our adversary, and he wishes more than anything but to destroy what we have started. Satan will always attack us in any way and any shape that he can. This is not a message tonight glorifying Satan, but he is an adversary, and he is a very potent adversary. We should never underestimate the power of our enemy. He will pit one of us against the other and try to divide us. If he can divide us, then he can conquer us. He will lie to us and he will tell us that we are not the what the Word of God says we are. We are not joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He will tell us that we do not have his power nor his authority, but we are yet weak in the flesh. He will take and doubt us, give us a doubt to where some of us even begin to question his word. And I've spoke with a few individuals over the last month or so, and they come in and they have this bewildered look I don't even know how to get a hold of God. I don't know how to find God. I don't even know, does God still exist in my life? Casting doubts begins to, those doubts, you begin to question his word. And when you question his word, you begin to question his power and authority. And then when you begin to question his power and authority, you begin to question whether or not he is even in existence. He will attempt to discourage us. He will look at you and he will tell you that your problems are hopeless and that you are helpless. He will try to send division among us and will attempt to make the wrong thing seem attractive to us and try to get us to get our eyes off of the master, to get our eyes off of the vision, to get our eyes off of our battle plan. He will come in and try to get us distracted. He will try to confuse us. He will try to frustrate us. He will attempt to disrupt us and deceive us. And if he cannot succeed in any of those areas, he will try to delay us from doing what we know needs to be done. Procrastination is a killer of any type of a progress. So many times we go in and we have meetings and we plan and we plan and we plan, and so many of those plans never come to fruition because we continue to procrastinate and delay. And if Satan can get us to delay our plans, if he can get us to delay what we're looking to do, then he has in essence silenced us. He has stopped us. But we have a God, church. We have a God, and he has given us the power, and he has given us authority, and he has given us the authority to use that power over the adversaries in this city. He has given us the power and authority to take over the neighborhoods in our city. He has given us the power and the authority to take over and claim Dane County as a bastion, as a stronghold for God himself. It is within our power. It is our authority. We are not the weakest in the county. We are the strongest in the county. And wherever you go and whatever neighborhood you go into, you are the dominating spirit in that neighborhood, for nothing that can be formed against us is going to prosper. We have a God who can turn dead ends into detours. We have a God who can take what may look like the end of the road for you and turn it into just a bend in the road for you. We have a God who can make a one-way road and turn it into a superhighway. A superhighway of the supernatural. A couple months ago, I went over briefly over the extensions and our Bible studies and what was happening. And I've determined that this year, what I would like to do is about every 6 months kind of have a message of this sorts to kind of let you know as a church exactly where we are and where we're going. In Mission 2025 update, I've titled this message tonight, "The Ending is Greater Than the Beginning," because I believe that our ending of this is going to be much, much greater than the beginning. When you look at the beginning of businesses, they don't start off on huge, massive scales. They start off with little, small, humble abode. And we started off in a humble setting. But I believe that as this thing ends up, we are going to be all over Madison, all over Dane County, because I believe that the ending of this is going to be far greater than our beginning. We don't talk about the jails very much here at Calvary Gospel Church, but in our jail, our prison ministry, Fox Lake, I spoke with Brother Glenn Useman just this past week. These are victory reports, church. This isn't just a bunch of stats to throw out. This is what God is doing amongst us and through us. Brother Glenn Useman, please stand. He spoke to me last week. If you could stand up, Brother Useman. And he began to talk to me about what was going on at Fox Lake Prison in the city of Fox Lake, Wisconsin, just some 30 miles north of us, near up above Montello, up in that area. And in Fox Lake, they're ministering to 25 men in their prison services on Saturday evenings, if I'm not mistaken. He needs help in those services, because they're full. And you take one man and he tries to pray with 24, 25 various prisoners. And he says, "I feel like when I come out of there, I'm spiritually and emotionally drained, because they pull all of that out of me." And just as Jesus had to get away in the wilderness because he would minister so hard and people would just pull it out of him. Thank you, Brother Useman, for what you're doing in Fox Lake. The power of God is falling in Fox Lake Prison. Some of those men may never walk into this church, but when they are released, and whether they're released or not, they may be in there for the rest of their lives, but they can be a witness and a tool behind prison for the rest of their lives for God Almighty. Our Dane County Jail, every Monday night, we have a Bible study. And there's 12 women that are in this Bible study, and there's a waiting list of 10 women. Sister Everlene Harris is one of the teachers that goes down there. She's not here tonight, but Sister Everlene, Sister Audrey Hawk, if you could stand up. Sister Kim Stace, are you here tonight? These ladies go down, and every Monday night when we're having family nights, you can go ahead and be seated, Sister Hawk. I appreciate what they're doing, because there are ladies down there that need to know about Jesus Christ. They need to experience the oneness of Jesus Christ. They need to repent of their sins and be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're ministering every Monday night. At Oak Hill, we look at Oak Hill, and I'm not for sure who is all going to Oak Hill right now at this present moment, but the chaplain that is there at Oak Hill, he has been working with Brother Claude Abga in our African International, and last week when he preached, the chaplain at Oak Hill preached in their park service there, and that is where 10 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God is moving in the prison systems to where we now have a chaplain that is born baptized in Jesus' name, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's preaching in our park outreaches, and people are coming to God. All of those brothers that have worked at Oak Hill over the past, just go ahead and stand, because you have laid a groundwork for what is going on there and what is going to continue. And I thank you so very much for what you have done down there in Oak Hill. God bless you. Our African International Ministry is celebrating their one-year anniversary this coming weekend with Brother Forkpaw. They have been in existence for a little over 1 year, and I'm so thankful for what God is doing in our African International Ministries here in Madison, Wisconsin. Brother Claude Apka and his family, I don't see them here tonight. They have a very busy schedule, Brother Claude. He has a very strenuous schedule. Brother and Sister Akka, Kim Akka, and John Acca, I don't see them as well, but they work with them and assist them down with the African International and all of the people that are involved in that ministry. God bless you and continue the fight. His ambassadors is our West Side Extension with Brother George O'Neill. We also have Brother O'Neill is here. I don't know if he's here or not, but if you're working with his ambassadors on the West Side, if you could please stand. We have been continuing to plant seeds through outreaches, and God has seen, they have sent a steady increase of attendance in their service, and God is continuing to move. God is using our brothers and sisters, the Kraskis, the Zenzes, the Novaks, and all of the other people that are involved in the West Side Extension. Thank you so very much. I want to encourage you to expect. I want you to expect an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I don't understand why, if in 10 days God can turn the upper room into a powerhouse of the Holy Ghost and 3,000 souls can be added, God can take a motel room and he can turn it into the next Azusa Street. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. There is no reason for me to have any doubt in what God can and will do. Our CMI group is on a summer break at this time because a lot of the campus students, college students go home. But Sister Hannah LaDuke and her vision and her campus team, I applaud them for what they're doing on the university campus. They have a Tuesday night service. A lot of you don't know because you don't go, but they have a Tuesday night service and they're looking to start up this year a Sunday service again once a month or twice a month. I want to applaud CMI for what they are doing on the university campus. This is a city that is within a city. It is full of humanism. It is full of idolatry. Education is the idol that is worship. It is full of lust. It is full of all kinds of demonic spirits, but we have a power. We have an authority on the university campus. Yes, she may only be 103 pounds, but she is a power horse, a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. I guessed at that, Sister Hannah. I'm smart. I've learned if you overguess on that, you're in big trouble. Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, we have a Bible study group that's continuing to teach and study the Word in Sun Prairie. Sister Linda Brown, Brother and Sister Brown, if you could please stand up. They're taking and they are looking to establish a church. They have a group, go ahead and continue standing. They have a group of about 18 to 21 people that meet there, and they're having a Sunday school time, and they're continuing to preach the gospel in Sun Prairie. Sister Brown is praying, and I want you to help her pray for God to bring about a dream and a goal that she has, and I share that same dream. I want to see my sister. I want to see God use her in this way. The apples of gold is just a preliminary process that she is going through for the next phase that God has in her life, and that is to establish a much-needed home similar to a care net for single mothers that come out of abusive situations in the city of Sun Prairie. I believe that God is going to come through and God is going to provide a place for them to operate. If everyone else can do it, why can't the true body of Christ? I drove past one of the churches just down the road here that's put on a big $3.5, $4, $5 million addition under their building. And as I drove past, my wife and I asked the question. I said, how come we can't afford to do something like that? How come we're struggling? And it's just like a little bit later, I was praying about that. And God just spoke to me and he said, I didn't come to this earth to dwell in big, huge temples. I came to dwell in the hearts and the lives of men. That's not to say that a church is not needed. Don't get me wrong, because he started his ministry in a temple. The upper room was poured out. Tradition tells us, if it depends on what you read, it was one of the rooms in the temple. I'm not for sure. I haven't studied a great deal of that out, but I know that the disciples went daily to the temple to pray. So it wasn't a worthless building. But if it's not used for His glory, and it's not used to perpetuate His gospel, it's just a worthless building. It's just a place to go play basketball or go play volleyball. But you see, the house of God is so much more than that. I'm excited about what God is doing. Leopold is expanding. I want us to have Sister Darlene Burrell and her sisters, loving sisters, if they could stand. God has just taken, dropped in their lap a real miracle. There's a program that's called Camp KGG. And it's an African program. It talks about family, and it talks about the necessity of family and teaching. And they have been given a 501c3 called Camp GGG, where they're able to take and get into the Leopold Elementary School and take and have an after-school program for children in the school system. Some of this stuff you wonder, God, where's all this leading to? You know what, church? I have no idea. I have no idea, but I just understand one thing. It's another piece of the puzzle that God is putting together. Park Street. We're currently looking at a facility to rent on Park Street. And I'm very excited about this, and we're going to be just talking more about this coming up. But we have an opportunity to rent about 2,000 square foot on the backside of a free medical clinic on Park Street. And when the owner of the building, I went over there with Pastor Thomas on Tuesday, and when the owner of the building found out that we were the church that was conducting the free Touch Twice medical clinic, his eyes got about this big. Him and his wife have lived in the United States for 33 years. They moved here from India, and they say, this is our home. This is where we live. This is where our family lives. And we've taken our whole life savings, everything that we have, and we've put it into this free clinic, and it's free. Doesn't cost anything. He said, recently we've run into some financial situations and we've had to charge for some people upwards to $50 if they can afford that. And when he found out that we were a church and we're looking to have what I have shared with Sister Darlene Burrell as a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week mission on Park Street to minister to the neighborhood of Park Street and Badger Road and all up and down the corridor of Park Street. Listen, if Azusa Street can start in a converted livery stable, we can take and have an Azusa Street and a back warehouse of a building on Park Street. I don't want to put any limitations on God. I don't want to put God in a box and say, God, unless revival happens in this sanctuary, it can't happen. I want to see revival happen all over this county. We have a Bible study in Oregon with Brother Devin Hakala. I thank you, Brother Devin Hakala. If you could stand, I know you're back there, Brother Devin, not to embarrass you. If you live in the Oregon area, it's been starting and working in a Bible study group there in Oregon with up to 3 different families over a period of time. I believe that God is going to use him, and they are going to take and build an outreach in Oregon. They are going to take and plant a strategic ministry, a strategic church there in Oregon. We have an outreach, or we started, and we're having a few outreaches in the Verona area that has been branching out, and we're looking to plant a church in Verona. Revival Ridge is growing and looking to establish a Sunday service in the community center there in the Boys and Girls Club. And I have a meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 with Brother Hawk and Brother and Sister Leonardson, and we're going to discuss about going in there and the possibility of starting a neighborhood CIP program in a neighborhood that is infested with drugs and infested with alcohol and all kinds of problems. And we're going to see if we can't take and move a CIP or start a CIP program right there in the heart of a stronghold of the enemy. We have a Lake Point, where Sister Darlene Burrell works. We have a number of ladies as well as a gentleman received the Holy Ghost within the last month. We're hoping to move our monthly Truex Community Church into a weekly service. We have access over there at Truex to their community center, and the manager that runs that center has begged us, please, please, please come in here. We need you here every week. We want you to start Bible studies. This neighborhood needs the power of God. This neighborhood needs a church. We have a couple currently that has moved to Stoughton, and we're looking to start Bible study groups in Stoughton. Right now, we have approximately 305 people that are attending all of our church plants. And I thank God for what He is doing in those areas. Brother Seidel, Pastor Seidel is here. If he could please stand. He's working as a pastor under Voces Unidas. They have a service here at 2 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon as well as a 2 o'clock service. He attends a lot of our services, and I appreciate and I thank him and his team, Brother and Sister Leonardson, and all of you that are assisting in the Voces, because your schedule is very busy and is very hectic, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy out of you. But God is doing some awesome things in our Spanish ministry. God is moving in our Spanish ministry. They have started a bus route where they're bringing people from the Revival Ridge Outreach that they're reaching on Monday nights, and they're bringing them here Sunday afternoons to Voces Unidas so they can be filled or have an opportunity to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and their children can attend this Sunday school. God is moving in our Spanish community in Madison. I am excited about what God is doing. A local church just this past week called and left a message on our answering machine for Brother Thomas. And he's asked our outreach team to come to his church within the next 2 weeks on a Sunday afternoon around 3 to 4 o'clock and have a Holy Ghost service. He has 25 people in his congregation that are seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's asked for Pastor Thomas and our outreach team to go to his church and have a Holy Ghost Sunday. And 25 people will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe God is moving. It doesn't have to be inside a Calvary Gospel Church. It can be in Sun Prairie. It can be in Marshall. It can be in Deerfield. It can be in Monona. It can be in Fitchburg. It can be in Stoughton. God doesn't care. All He's looking for is someone who is willing to go. He is looking for someone who is willing to say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Sunday night, after we left the building, we went out into the parking lot. There was a very large thundercloud just to the south of us. Some of us were out there, and as you watched it more closely, it was unbelievable how fast that this was expanding rapidly upwards and mushrooming out. It was beautiful. You could sit there and just watch it literally just grow. And I was discussing, we were looking at this, and Brother Pat O'Malley, I believe, said that he had read where that the cloud that followed the Israelites followed was not some little small pillar type cloud. It was not some little small cloud the size of a hand, but it was a massive thunderhead cloud that all the time that they followed it, every day when they followed it, it was continually rumbling under the power and the anointing of an almighty God. It was fire. And there was thunderings and there was lightnings, and the people followed that cloud. They understood that that cloud represented the power and the authority of the great I Am. But not only did the Israelites understand the power and authority in the cloud, but their enemies understood it too. Our enemy understands the power and authority that we have. The power was in the cloud. The glory of God was in the cloud. The glory of God was in the pillar of fire. And we need God's power and His glory. And the only way that we're going to get God's power and we're going to get His glory and we're going to get His authority is if we continue, church, to pray, and if we continue, church, to fast. I didn't get very many hand claps on that. I don't know if you're worn out from clapping for tonight or it just caught you off guard. But we're going to take over the next 6 months. I've talked with some of you already, and I'm excited because I am believing that God can do some miraculous things. I understand that the early church understood that their power came through prayer. A church that does not pray will forfeit the blessings and the power of an almighty God. A powerless church does nothing to please or to glorify God. God is not pleased when his church fails to collectively pray and collectively fast. If we endeavor to see this church soar to higher heights, we must become a praying church. If we want to see the lives change and souls saved, we must be a praying church. If we want to have an impact on Dane County and on this world, church, we must be a praying church. If we want to see the church become what God designed it to be, we must be a praying church. If we want to see continued growth, we must be a praying church. Some wonderful things happened when the church in the book of Acts prayed. When the church in the book of Acts prayed, they were in one mind and one accord, and the glory came down. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord. To be with one accord, of course, means to have the same motivation and to have the same purpose. It speaks of unity. It speaks of agreement, and it's time for the church to have a new emphasis. It's time for us to enter into a season of corporate prayer and to rediscover our prayer meetings. Just as individuals are to pray, we are to pray as a church body. A praying church becomes a revived church. Praying saints become revived saints, and we are revived. We have a new energy. A praying church is a worshiping church. The congregation that does not worship does not pray. When the church prayed, an earthquake shook the very foundation of the building that they were in. When they prayed, people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the church prayed, they began to gain boldness and began to witness boldly. When the church prayed, the church had power. When they prayed, the miraculous happen. God's power is released in and through a church that prays. Miracles, signs and wonders, salvation and healing, praise and adoration all take place within a praying church. We can pray, believe and receive, or we can pray, doubt and do without. But God's power operates in a praying church. The pattern that we will find in the early church is that they prayed, and they prayed often. Acts 1:14, and then continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts 2:1, and the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place. You can go all throughout the book of Acts, and it talks about them praying. They were praying. They were in unity. If we pray, we break into a spontaneous praise and worship. And when we break into a spontaneous praise and worship, God can come down, and he can do the miraculous. A praying church is a soul-winning church. It doesn't matter to me how big of a building we have or don't have. I want to see a church that is a praying church, because a praying church is a soul-winning church. If we continue to win souls, I'm inclined to let God worry about the size of the building. The reason converts are not won to the Lord in so many churches is the church is not praying for lost souls, and everything is inward. It's all about me. What can I get out of this church? A praying church is going to win souls. A praying church is also a giving church. You don't have to worry about people giving themselves in tithes and offerings to the Lord, because if you're a praying church, you are giving, and you are giving of your abundance. If we don't pray, we don't give. Most people that don't have a prayer life don't have a giving life as well. But more than anything else, a praying church is a spiritual church. It's not a carnal church. It is a church full of unity. When you pray as a unified body, when you pray in one mind and one accord, you can't help but fall into a path of supernatural supernatural unity. A praying church is a unified church where people are maturing and people are growing in the Lord, helping to meet the needs of their brothers and their sisters and ministering to one another. Those are the signs of a healthy praying church. I thank God that we have a healthy praying church. But I want to encourage you, church, it's not looking at where we've been. We have prayed and fasted and it has got us to this point. But to get to the next level that God desires to bring us to get to the next step of revival in our church and in our ministries, it's going to require us to step up. In closing tonight, our praise team can come. I believe that God has promised that the end will be greater than the beginning. He has promised to increase and to bless His church. Ezekiel 36:11 says, I will do better than you than in the beginnings. You see, this scripture doesn't describe a church or a people that's grown weaker and more sinful. It describes a church that has grown powerful. And more powerful. I believe that as we continue to pray and we continue to move into the supernatural with God, that this church, that you as individuals are going to become powerful. Do you understand that? Did you get that? God desires to see you lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. Do you believe that? Do you desire to have that? Do you desire to have that? Let's stand tonight. You see, this is a promise of a great work of God, greater than Pentecost. He's promised us that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. Think back to your spiritual beginnings when you first got saved, how happy you were and how excited you were when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And He's saying, that was just your beginning. Do you not understand? I desire your ending to have much more power than your beginning. God is saying, I'm going to do better than that for you. I'm going to do better things in the latter church than in the former church. And when you look at this, he was in the context, he was talking, you're going to say, God, you're going to do better than the Red Sea? God is saying, yes, I can do better than the Red Sea. You say, God, can you do better than Elijah calling down fire from heaven and shutting up the rain? And God is saying, yes, I can do better than Elijah. I can do better than shutting down the rain. You may say, can you do better than the apostles when they went and they cast out devils and they saw crippled people rise up and dance? And God is saying, yes, I can do better. You say, God, can you do better than Peter's shadow as he walked? People received their healing. And God is saying, yes, I can do better. God's word makes it very plain that He's got something better. God is saying to His church right now, I want to do this for you. I want to increase you. He gave us these promises so we can pray for them to come to pass. My prayer right now is, God, you have to do it. Lord, I may not be able to see it. I may not be able to see what all God is doing, but you have no choice other than to do it, because, Lord, you promised that you were going to do it. You promised us that you were going to do it. I believe God wants us to pray that way. He yearns to show us His power and His strength in our day. His power is the promise. And we need to claim these promises over every area of our lives. We need to lay a hold of these promises until God lays a hold of you. Church, the end is greater our end is greater than our beginning. I want to open up this altar tonight for a season of prayer, a time of reconsecration, a time to repower, a time to revive your spirit. I don't know what you're struggling with. I can't see into your mind, into your heart. I don't know what frustrations you have, but God desires to use you in such a mighty, in such a powerful way. We look at ourselves as who we are and all of our flesh and all of our stench and all of our problems. And God is telling us, listen, your beginning, your ending is much greater than your beginning. I've just started a work in you. Allow me to finish. Allow me to continue. Allow me to continue that work. God desires to do great things through all of you. Let's ask God to do great things through us. Show us your glory, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to pray. Pray in a fervency, Lord. Pray with a desperation, Lord, that we've never prayed before, God. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you for what you have started in us, but we thank you, Lord, for what you are going to finish in us. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, for this church.